Hi, this is Ted Haggard from New Life Church in Colorado Springs. The program you're about to hear is written and produced by a friend of mine, Gordon Klingenschmidt. I've known Gordon personally for 12 years, and I've seen the fruit of his life. He's an honorable servant of the Lord. I've also endorsed his book and recommend his ministry to you. So I encourage you to listen to what he has to say and write to him and support Persuade the World Ministries. Thank you very much, and God bless you.
Welcome and thank you for joining this radio broadcast of Persuade the World Ministries. You're about to hear part 18 of 18 in our radio production of the book written and taught by Gordon James Klingenschmidt, entitled License to Sin, the number one reason America is losing its moral foundation. If you call us in the next hour, we'll mail you a free cassette tape of today's broadcast, which you can copy and give to your friends. Just call our toll-free number, 866-OBEY-GOD. That's toll-free, 1-866-OBEY-GOD. Gordon James Klingenschmidt is a graduate of the United States Air Force Academy and a seminary graduate of Regent University, holding both MBA and Master of Divinity degrees. He's also the founder and servant of Persuade the World Ministries, a 501c3 tax-exempt religious nonprofit corporation in Colorado Springs, dedicated to persuading individuals in America and throughout the world to forsake their sins and submit their hearts and minds to the loving rulership of our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, with today's teaching, here is Gordon James Klingenschmidt.
Thanks, Mark. Today we're continuing our teaching on the secret of consistent holiness. Now, some of you have struggled and struggled with besetting sins, and you just can't figure out how to live in consistent holiness. But I just keep failing, you say. It's too difficult to be holy. I've tried to repent again and again, but I fall and I fall and I fall. Do you know what the secret to consistent holiness is? It's knowing God intimately. The Bible says, whoever does not love does not know God. So if you don't love God consistently, it's only because you really don't know Him. But if you know Him intimately, you'll fall in love with Him, and consistent holiness will follow automatically. So get to know Him. Meditate on His character. Today we're continuing our study on Christ's character, and I promise it'll help you fall in love with Him. Everybody say, Jesus is my all in all. There is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. He doesn't play favorites. He doesn't prefer race or wealth. He fills everything and everyone who comes to Him and asks for help. Everybody say, Jesus is the Word of Life. This we proclaim concerning the Word of Life. The life appeared. We have seen it and testify to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. Jesus is the Word who brings eternal life to us from the Father. Everybody say, Jesus is the resurrection and the life. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. He is our resurrection, our life after death. He came to raise us and redeem us from our deadly sins and from death. Everybody say, Jesus is my shepherd. He said, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. Jesus is our shepherd, who protects us and leads us into green pastures. When we stray, He comes after us and returns us to His fold. And He gives His life to ensure our safety. Everybody say, Jesus is my gateway to salvation. He said, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. Jesus is the gateway to green pasture and to safety and rest and the gateway to salvation. Everybody say, Jesus is the way of salvation. He said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Christ is the way to salvation. There is no other person, no other way by which you can reach His Father. Jesus is the way. Everybody say, Jesus is my truth. He said, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. He is truth, and He can sway your heart and mind over to consistent holiness. He sets us free from our deadly sins, and we are free indeed. Everybody say, Jesus is the true light. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness. When darkness fills my heart and mind, the light of Christ is brilliant. He shines his bright lamp of truth everywhere he looks, and darkness must flee. Everybody say, Christ in me. You are not controlled by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. When he lives in you, he conquers the selfish desires of the flesh, and he lives his holy life through you. Everybody say, Jesus is my strength. I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call to the Lord who is worthy of praise, and I am saved from my enemies. Everybody say, Jesus is the keeper of my soul. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. He keeps us from all harm. He leads us not into temptation. Everybody say, Jesus is the true vine. Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. Remain in me, and I remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Just as the vine provides life to the branches, Jesus provides and sustains life inside of us. Everybody say, Jesus is my shield and my reward. He said to Abraham, do not be afraid. I am your shield and your very great reward. Jesus shields us from our enemies and protects us from every form of evil. He is our great treasure. He is the great reward that we seek. Everybody say, Jesus is my hope. By the command of God our Savior and of Christ Jesus, our hope. What do we have to look forward to? Why do we endure this hardship and live for God? For Christ. He is our hope, and our future is with him. Everybody say, Jesus is my salvation. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. He is salvation. He is deliverance and freedom. He is our rescuer and our eternal life. Everybody say, Jesus is my rock. O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. All other ground is sinking sand. Christ cannot be moved. He is reliable and steady. He is my rock. Everybody say, Jesus is the strength of my heart. God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. When we're weak, he is made strong in us. When we're about to fail, he is the strength of our hearts. He enables us and gives us strength to stand firm. Now, doesn't that encourage and strengthen your heart? I can already feel myself falling in love with him. You know, the more we know him, the more we love him. And the more we love him, the easier it is to love him consistently. That's the secret to consistent holiness. It's knowing him. Now, I'm not saying you have to know Jesus in all these ways before you can repent. Repentance and holiness must be immediate, for without holiness, no one will see the Lord. But the better you know the Lord, the more consistent you can be in holiness, and you won't fall into sin nearly as often. He is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault. He will keep you strong to the end so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to give you one more secret to consistent holiness, and that's reading your Bible. Do you remember how Jesus fought temptation when he was out there in the desert? The devil tempted him 3 times, and every time Jesus said, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written. It is written. It is written." That's how Jesus consistently defeated temptation. He loved God with all his heart, but then he quoted God's word. Some people think Jesus had some special ability to resist temptation, but he only had the same abilities that you and I have. The Bible says he was tempted in every way just as we are, yet was without sin. So he couldn't have had special powers to fight against sin that you and I don't also have. Jesus was tempted in the same way that you are, and whatever tools he used to resist temptation are the same tools that you and I can use. So when the devil tempted him to tell these stones to become bread, Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." He quoted God's word. And when the devil said, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from this temple," Jesus answered him, "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." And when the devil said, "Bow down and worship me," Jesus said, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Now Jesus fought temptation and won because he knew God's word and he spoke it out loud when he was being tempted. "It is written, it is written, it is written." Notice that for every different temptation, Jesus quoted a different scripture. I believe there's a different scripture we can use against every different kind of temptation. God will always give you a particular scripture you can use to escape your temptation. "For no temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it." God will always point you to a scripture that can strengthen your heart and give you a way out, but only if you know God's word. So now I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. So those are the secrets to consistent holiness. Know God intimately. Know him. And know the Bible so well, you can quote it out loud when you're being tempted. So remember those later on when you're being tempted. Now think about that while we take this short break.
Thanks, Gordon. He'll be back in just a moment. But first, do you know somebody who needs to hear today's message? If you call our toll-free number in the next hour, 866-OBEY-GOD, we'll mail you a free cassette tape of today's broadcast, which you can copy and give to your friends. All our tapes are copyable and free. But please remember, we need your donations to stay on the air and give away these free tapes. So please pray and obey, then send us your best possible donation after you receive your free cassette.
Hey, time out. If it's your first time contacting us, no donation is required. Just call us.
Our toll-free number is 866-OBEY-GOD. That's 1-866-OBEY-GOD. And please specify you're requesting today's program, cassette tape number L18. Do you believe America needs to hear these messages? If so, we're specifically asking you to join the Persuaders Club and to sponsor this radio broadcast with a monthly pledge of just $15. If you join the Persuaders Club, we'll also send you an autographed copy of Gordon's book. Just visit our website at persuaders-club.com or call us in the next hour at 866-OBEY-GOD. Right now, let's return to Gordon James Klingenschmidt.
Thanks again, Mark. Revelation 19 says, "The wedding of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given her to wear." Fine linen stands for the righteous acts of the saints. As I was praying one day and worshiping the Lord, the eyes of my heart were opened, and I had a vision, and I saw Jesus the Christ standing gloriously in heaven. He was beautifully dressed as a groom, patiently waiting for the day of his wedding. And I saw the angels running back and forth, making a wedding dress for the bride, or the church. The angels had measuring tapes and chalk and patterns for making the wedding dress. And they brought a bolt of fine linen before the Lord for his inspection. This linen represents the deeds of Christian people. But the look on the Lord's face revealed that something wasn't quite right. "This cloth is gray," said the Lord to his angels. "It's not white, like a wedding dress should be. This linen's not pure. It's not fit for my beautiful bride to wear on her wedding day." The angels just looked down. They had no answer to give. "This is what I shall do," said the Lord. "I'll send my living and active word, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing of soul and spirit." And the Lord spoke a word toward the cloth. His word came out of his mouth, and it became like razor-sharp shears, swiftly cutting the length of the cloth, until the entire cloth fell in two pieces. half of the cloth changed from gray into pure white. And the other half of the cloth changed from gray into pitch black. This cutting of the cloth represents the decisions of all people who get off the fence and go radically into holiness and love, or radically into sin and selfishness. The Lord pointed to the black cloth. This cloth is fit only to be burned and destroyed. And the angels took the black cloth away and cast it into the lake of fire. Then the Lord pointed to the white cloth. This cloth is suitable for my bride to wear. It's pure and spotless, without blemish, without stain or wrinkle. Put it on, my beautiful bride. And the angels took the white cloth and made the most beautiful wedding dress the universe has ever seen. And so Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. And the day of the wedding came quickly. That's the vision that I saw. Now the words of this vision, indeed the words of this entire 18-part teaching series, are highly divisive, and intentionally so. Christ is coming with vengeance. Out of his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. And despite everybody out there who wants cultural tolerance and political inclusiveness and ecumenical unity between all the denominations, in the end, there will be one great division between the saved and the damned. In the end, everybody will either submit to God's loving rulership and be holy, or reject God's rulership and die in their deadly sins. Jesus Christ was divisive. He said, "Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to turn a man against his own father, and a daughter against her mother. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household." Now, I've said some hard things in this series, not to hurt your feelings, but to prepare you for the day of judgment. In the end, Jesus will return not to unify, but to separate. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will separate the faithful servants from the unfaithful, and the virgins whose lamps are full of oil from those who aren't ready, the trees that bear fruit from the trees with no fruit. And he'll separate people wearing wedding clothes from those who are shabbily dressed. Two men will be in the field, one will be taken, and the other left. Therefore keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. Be ready, get off the fence, and be holy. Come out from among them, and be ye separate, says the Lord, and I will receive you. Now, back in the 19th century, we got a lot of good teaching about baptism in water. And here in the 20th century, we got a lot of good teaching on the baptism in the Holy Spirit. But now, in the 21st century, we're finally going to understand the baptism in fire. John the Baptist said, "I baptize you with water for repentance, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." Now, what is this baptism in fire? Isn't it the fire of judgment that will test the deeds of the saints? His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will gather his wheat into the barn and burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Now, what about you? Will your works survive the test of God's all-consuming fire? If any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. Will your work be shown for what it is? Are your works gold, silver, and costly stones that will last forever? Or wood, hay, and stubble that will be destroyed in the fire? Your works will be judged. The Bible says, "And another book was opened, which was the book of life, and the dead were judged according to their works, by the things which were written in the books. And they were judged, each one according to his works. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." this baptism by fire is God's final divisive judgment. And his baptism in fire will divide the flammable from the flame-proof. I see a holy divisiveness coming to the church in America. There will be no lukewarm believers. People are going to get off the fence and radically choose holiness or radically choose sin. God's people will live in consistent holiness, empowered by the Spirit of God and by His influential grace. I see Christians loving their enemies, even those who mock and persecute them. I see God's people talking about Jesus openly, without shame, and boldly proclaiming His truth to the nations. I see them loving their neighbors, and I see Christian charities taking care of the poor, filled with volunteers and donors stepping up to relieve the government of any such burden. And I see American Christians radically forsaking all their known sins and consecrating themselves entirely to God alone. I see homes and schools and businesses, courts and congresses filled with people who love God, doing everything possible to glorify Him. I see radio and television and church pulpits filled with truth-sayers, telling nobody what their itching ears want to hear, but speaking God's truth in love. I see holiness churches full to the brim, and liberal churches empty where false teachers once stood. I see a radical reformation of holiness, not just a revival, but a great awakening, marching across America as the thundering, pounding footsteps of God's authority take hold in the hearts of men. But at the same time, there's going to be a great rebellion against Almighty God. As the purest white becomes brilliant, the blackest pitch grows even darker still. Millions of Americans, slaves to their lusts, will get off the fence and rush into their sins. Pleasure will be their first love. Sensual gratification, their highest aim. Pride is their motivation. They join Satan in serving no God higher than themselves. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. You false teachers out there are going to hate this holiness reformation. You're going to find every possible argument for people to remain in their sins. You're going to promote every excuse, every loophole to avoid submitting to the rulership of God. If you're a liberal pastor who says holiness is optional, and you can go to heaven without holiness, I declare war against your ideas, and I'll fight them with every ounce of strength God gives me until I die. You and all your lies will be destroyed in eternal fire. The Son of Man will send out His angels, and they will weed out of His kingdom everything that causes sin, and all you who do evil. They will throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So I plead with you one last time, join with me, arm in arm, brother and sister in Christ. Let's forsake all our known sins and submit our hearts and minds to the loving rulership of our Lord Jesus Christ. And let's run together into our brightest future. I see the bride of Christ in her beautiful wedding dress, shining in the sun, brilliant and radiant, loving God with all her heart and loving her neighbors as herself. Can you see it? Will you be there? The righteous will shine in the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear. Let's pray together. Would you pray these words along with me to God? Go ahead and say them out loud with me. Father in heaven, prepare your church for the glorious wedding to Christ, and prepare me too. Let your kingdom come, and let your will be done on earth and in my heart, in the same way that you already rule up in heaven. Help me to walk blamelessly, the way you deserve, and help me to love you supremely and love my neighbors as myself. I reject sin and every false teacher who allows sin, and I embrace holiness and every teaching which requires holiness. I know holiness isn't optional, and I invite you to come and rule my heart, now and forever, in Jesus' name. Amen. Did you pray with me just now? If you prayed with me, would you just say amen? Go ahead and say it out loud. Amen, Lord Jesus. Some of you are receiving a physical healing in your bodies right now, as God's loving rulership takes over in your heart. I hope you'll email us and tell us about that. Now, I'd like to know your thoughts about today's teaching. Do you agree with me? Do you disagree? Please send me an email at persuadetheworld@yahoo.com. That's persuadetheworld@yahoo.com. I also hope you'll join the Persuaders Club and get a copy of my book. I've been very fortunate and blessed to have this book read and endorsed by people like C. Peter Wagner and Professors Tony Campolo and John Mark Ruthven and Pastors Ted Haggard and Floyd McClung and Joy Dawson and Bill Hammond. So you know it's trustworthy. Please pray for us, and please mark it in your schedule and tune in again next time to this same radio station at this regular time period. Now, if you missed any part of this series, tune in again next time because we're going to play it all over again. Now, I love you and I care about you. So here's Mark with more information.
Thanks, Gordon, and thanks everybody for listening. Do you know somebody who needs to hear today's message? If you call our toll-free number in the next hour, 866-OBEY-GOD, we'll mail you a free cassette tape of today's broadcast, which you can copy and give to your friends. All our tapes are copyable and free, but please remember that we need your donations to stay on the air and give away these free tapes. So please pray and obey God about how much these teachings are worth to you, and return to us your best possible gift after you receive your free cassette.
Hey, time out. If it's your first time contacting us, no donation is required. Just call us.
Our toll-free number is 866-OBEY-GOD. That's 1-866-OBEY-GOD. And please specify you're requesting today's program, cassette tape number L18. Do you believe America needs to hear these messages? If so, we're specifically asking you to join the Persuaders Club and to sponsor this radio broadcast with a monthly pledge of just $15. If you join the Persuaders Club as a monthly partner, we'll send you an autographed copy of the book you've been hearing, written and taught by Gordon James Klingenschmitt, entitled License to Sin, The Number One Reason America is Losing Its Moral Foundation. Just visit our website at persuaders-club.com. That's persuaders-club.com. It's the monthly donations of our Persuaders Club partners who keep this program on the air. Now, if you have comments or questions about today's broadcast, you can email us at persuadetheworld@yahoo.com. Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 77222, Colorado Springs, Colorado, 80970. Or you can always call us toll-free at 866-OBEY-GOD. And if you remember, please tell us the call sign of the radio station you're listening to. May God bless you and thank you for supporting Persuade the World Ministries. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men.
Hi, this is Gordon James Klingenschmitt. Do you know there are 8 benefits of joining the Persuaders Club? For a monthly pledge of just $15, we'll send you a personalized certificate and add your name to our prayer list. I'll also send you an autographed copy of my book and regular cassette tapes, which you can copy and share with your friends. And you'll help rebuild America's moral foundation. And you'll also get our newsletter, The Persuader, and tax receipts so you can deduct your gift. And of course, you'll have my personal thanks. So please join the Persuaders Club today by visiting our website at persuaders-club.com. Or call us toll-free at 866-OBEY-GOD. And thanks for supporting us with your prayers and donations. You're changing people's lives for Christ. Did you also know there are 8 specific ways to get involved with Persuade the World Ministries? You can become a prayer partner or make copies of our tapes for your friends. Or become a certified persuader to lead small group Bible studies with our materials. Or you can have me speak to your church or organization. Or have your church even become a certified persuader church. For details about these things, just call us toll-free at 866-OBEY-GOD. Or visit our website at persuaders-club.com. That's persuaders-club.com. The broadcast you just heard is property of Persuade the World Ministries. But if you're listening to a digital file like an MP3 or a WAV file, we encourage you to make copies of this program and give it to your friends. Do you know somebody who needs to hear today's message? Just imagine if you emailed this file to them or gave them a disc and it prompted them to give their heart back to God. Someday you'll see them up in heaven, and they'll thank God that you had the courage to reach out to them. So please copy this program and give it to your friends. And take a moment right now to join us in prayer for everybody who listens. Thanks, and may God reward you for the work you do for His kingdom.